Hey, yeah, we're going through Matthew. We're in Sermon on the Mount today. Hello to everyone at home watching. Hi, Javier. I know you watch diligently every week. Glad you're well. Thanks for sending me the emails, Javier. I like hearing from you. Oh, keep it up. Really, I really like hearing from you, Javier. Javier's in Mazatlan, Mexico. He's a buddy of mine that we support and serve with down there. A couple things before we get into the study. Carolyn O'Neill's Celebration of Life is today. So 2 o'clock here will be the viewing time from 2 until 3, and then at 3:30 there'll be a service in here. Masks are required, probably for the whole time. I know when we come in here we tend to take our masks off, but Larry has asked that we would keep our masks on. I won't when I talk or whatever because it's muffled and all that, but feel free to come. We hope you come and say hello to Larry and bless Larry and his family. 2 o'clock's the viewing, 3:30 is the service, okay? Also, there's been a few things as far as additions to the fellowship. We know we've seen the Moores. Cody and Katie had their baby. Today I saw, but I don't see them in here right now. Oh, she was crying. Hunter Rose is here today for the first time. Do we have, there he is. Yeah, there's Danny. There she is. I meant he, meaning Danny. Hunter Rose, say hey to Hunter. Hi, Hunter. Yeah, how old is she, Danny? 6 weeks. Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome. Also, Megan and Sandy went over and saw JP and Chelsea's baby, Navy. And so I think we got a picture of Navy. There's Navy. Yeah, bless our children. Amen. Look at that. And Jenny and Lee had theirs. That's right. They had 2 boys. Is it now they have 3 boys now? Woo. Pray for Jenna. Okay, thanks for putting that up so quickly, Ethan. I appreciate it. So we're growing from within. So anyway, let's get to our study. We're Matthew chapter 6 today, verse 25 is where we pick up. Sermon on the Mount. Man, what a great, great teaching, right? Chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus instructs his disciples on how to represent him in this world. What great, valuable instruction for us, practical instruction. So I hope you're a student of the Scriptures, but I hope you're a real, real student of the Sermon on the Mount. God will change your heart and your life if you take this very seriously. Last week or two, in the beginning part of chapter 6, Jesus addressed the hypocrisy within religious practices, remember? And then we saw Jesus use 3 illustrations related to that hypocrisy in our giving, in our praying, and in our fasting. Because some people want to be, you know, big deal about things, you know, they want to be seen. And Jesus says, hey, listen, to be a disciple of mine, it's not about outward appearance. It is about the inward heart. And our heart is our outward appearance is a reflection of our heart attitude. Then last week in verses 19 through 24, Jesus warned us about laying up treasures on earth. Instead, he encourages us, lay up your treasures in heaven. So we asked last week, well, how do we do that? And to simplify it, the way to lay up treasures in heaven is by giving to the work of the Lord in this world. Of course, under the direction of the Holy Spirit. He's got to direct you related to how you use your resources and your financial ability to serve and give to people. Okay? Notice, though, in verse 21, Jesus says, in chapter 6, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, our hearts are going to follow where we place our treasure, earthly or eternal. And then verse 24, no one can serve 2 masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else will be loyal to the one, despise the other. You can't serve God and money is what it is. It's about money in this section here. So if we place our treasure on this earth, then our hearts are going to be stuck on this earth. But if our treasure is laid up in heaven, then our hearts will be heavenly, eternal. Think of the satisfaction we would have of putting our resources. Again, if you were here last week, I don't often say it, but you may want to go back. If you weren't here last week, go back and watch the service, because it's a real good teaching related to our money. God, Jesus is talking about our extra. He's talking about the money that he gives us that above and beyond our basic needs. And I dare say all of us have extra. It's how do we use it? And Jesus is saying in those verses, listen, don't be so selfish with the extra that God has given you. Look for ways to bless other people. When we do that, what a joy in our heart. What things follow about me. I'm just pleasing God. It's a witness of the love of God that's in your heart, that you're generous in that way. Now, starting in verse 25, Jesus moves on to a subject that doesn't apply to any of us, but we're going to read it because we go through the Bible line by line. Jesus talks about worry, anxiety. I don't even know why he put it in here. Of course, we all get anxious about things. Of course, we all get worried one degree or another about things. We all worry and wonder about clothing and security and food and tomorrow. And Jesus knows us very well. So he's going to address this issue for us. And then he's going to give us the prescription. He just doesn't tell us there's the issue. He says, now here's the solution to the problem. No one, as a Christian person, who lives their life dominated by fear and worry is a good advertisement for the kingdom of God. Because we reflect our Heavenly Father. Remember, the Sermon on the Mount is how do we reflect Jesus in this world? And Jesus is going to say through this, if you're dominated by fear and worry over your basic needs, then you're not a good reflection of the Messiah. And so this is a very valuable instruction. I'd like to just read the whole thing through. So let's start in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. The whole thing meaning we're going to read the whole Bible. No, we're not. I don't think I'd do that. Verse 25. Therefore, Jesus is talking. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Can you imagine being on the hillside listening to Jesus talk? Wouldn't it have been so cool to sit there and hear Jesus say these words to you? Verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, you know, Solomon is probably the richest man who ever lived. Even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And he gives a little rebuke here. Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, don't worry, 31, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Lord, thanks for this time we have to gather together. And we pray that we would hear your voice. Thank you for writing this down for us, Lord. We pray your Holy Spirit would just have his way in our hearts. Make us more like you through this study, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Clearly, the theme of this section is do not worry. You see it repeated, 25, 31, 34. Jesus is telling his followers, if we're going to represent his kingdom in this world, we're not to be consumed with worrying about our daily provision. The English word worry there, God bless you, comes from a word which means to strangle. Some people worry to the point that they almost suffocate. Their blood pressure rises. They get ulcers. And certainly all of us go through times of crisis. You know, a loved one has a serious illness or we lose our job. And of course there's anxiety associated with those things. And there's worry related to the world we live in. And I couldn't list all the things those of us who are professional worriers worry about. But there is violence all over our country and our world. There's divorce rampant in our culture. There's terrorism, this crazy pandemic, which has a lot of us wearing our masks today. Who knows where that's headed? There's cyber attacks. There's identity theft. There's a credit card skimmer at the gas station now. There's a presidential election that's coming up. Holy moly. The U.S. national debt is over $20 trillion and rising rapidly. Just a little FYI. I like numbers too. A million seconds is 12 days. A billion seconds is 31 years. You ready? A trillion seconds is 31,688 years. This country is over $20 trillion in debt. Now, that's a lot to get anxious about. And there's a lot of other things, too, beyond what I mentioned, and it traumatizes people. But Jesus tells us here in this section that anxiety should not be the hallmark of a believer. You know, the chaplain of the U.S. Senate spoke a few years ago, and he said, ulcers should not be our testimony. We're called to tell the world that there's hope, that there's a future in our relationship with God, that it is possible to find peace in this world. So here, Jesus is telling us, God's going to provide for your basic needs. And if we're going to serve the Lord and lay up our treasures in heaven, then we need to understand that He's going to care for us in this world. And for me, that's this section in a nutshell. Because it makes sense to me when I think of it that way. If I'm going to be generous with the extra that God has given me and Sandy, then I have to trust that God's going to provide for my basic needs tomorrow, right? If not, I'm going to hoard because I'm afraid about tomorrow. And so Jesus, it's not a coincidence that Jesus follows what he talked about related to money with anxiety. Because all of us wonder, do I have enough for retirement? Do I have enough for? I mean, that's a long list. And so Jesus in the last section just says, hey, be generous with your extra. I can't be generous with my extra, Lord. I have no idea what tomorrow holds. So Jesus follows 25 through this section and says, listen, if you honor God with these principles and you live the way God is calling you to live, then you won't have fear related to what about all that. Again, all this is under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It has to be. It has to be. And when God speaks to our hearts and says, I want you to take that $12.37 and be a blessing, then we can do that joyfully without this sense of, will I need $12.37 tomorrow? Jesus says, don't worry. Don't be anxious, okay? Now, as we move through this little talk about anxiety, Jesus then talks, gives us two examples from nature. You see them? One's a bird, and the other's a flower. It's in verse, 26 and down through a little bit. You know, a bird has no capacity in the way it's been made to store up food. And yet God provides for that bird. So how does he do that? Day by day by day by day. It's a non-eternal animal, and God still cares for it because it's part of His creation. And since God cares for that bird, Jesus is saying He will certainly care for us. Notice in 27, it talks about adding a cubit to your stature. Cubit's 18 inches. Now, why would I want to be 18 inches taller? So I don't believe it's about 18 inches taller. I think it's talking about adding days to your life. So read it with that in your mind, verse 27. Which of you, by worrying, can add one day to your life, 1 hour to your life? You know you're going to die right on time. It's true. So the idea Jesus is saying is, you can't extend your life by worrying. So it's useless to worry. Has anybody really accomplished anything by worrying? I've heard it said that worry is a lot like sitting in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And again, I said in 28 and 29, there's Solomon, richest man that ever lived. He was must have been adorned in magnificent clothing. And Jesus saying, hey, if God clothes the lilies of the field with that kind of splendor, then he'll certainly clothe us. Now, you got to remember, back in that day, Jesus was talking to a group of people who had one set of clothes. They didn't have two. They had one. Now, that isn't us. And so put yourself in those people's shoes when it talks about clothing. If God's going to take care of something that has no future, it's only going to be used to start a fire, then he's going to be faithful to take care of us. Okay? So, when we're in a place where we're worrying about whether we have food to eat or clothes to wear, Jesus gives us an interesting remedy. Notice the word look in verse 26, first word. I use a New King James, so my word says look. Notice the word consider in verse 28. In the original language, it means to examine, to contemplate, to learn thoroughly. So he's saying, those of us who are anxious about those things, learn thoroughly from the birds and the flowers. Now, when Abraham Lincoln was reading through this, he didn't have the internet, he didn't have the National Geographic Channel, so he went outside, literally went out and sat in a field and examined the birds and the flowers of the field. So try this. I would encourage you, try it. You can even take your mask off while you're doing it. Take a walk in the woods. Go to a park and sit on a bench and just sit there for a little bit and watch the birds. Just watch them. I don't think you're going to find a bird driving a tractor, planting its seed. I don't think you're going to be later in the fall, not that far now, later in the fall in a combine, harvesting. I don't think you're going to see little bird barns up in the tree because they're storing their grain up there. You're not going to see that. Kind of silly to talk about it that way. And then as you sit there and you can get up and we'll look at a flower and look at the intricacies and the texture and the color and the beauty of a flower. If then the Lord clothes the grass of the field, here one day, gone another day, we can trust that God's going to take care of us. Flowers are temporal. We're eternal. So what Jesus is saying, in my estimation, is that people who worry don't comprehend the meticulous care of the Lord in his creation. Think of how God, in his genius, takes care of the orbits of the planets, the earth a perfect distance from the sun, his care related to the electrons and the protons and the neutrons, his care of the migratory patterns of the birds, the weather patterns, the currents in the oceans. I mean, you marvel at God's care over his creation. We get so busy. You know, I'm a night guy. And the mosquitoes are a little tough, but I love going out and sitting on my deck at night, and we sit a little bit where I don't have a lot of ambient light. I can just see the stars, and we have an owl that hoots over our way. You know, it's just, you just sit there and marvel. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do. Slow down, sit down, and marvel at how God is taking care of his creation everywhere around us. There's a witness of Almighty God's ability to sustain his creation. And he's telling us here, you're more important to me than the flowers and the birds. I'll take care of you. Notice at the end of verse 30, I tried to say it as we were going through it. He kind of rebukes a little bit those of us who are worriers, and all of us are at certain levels. Oh, you of little faith, you see 30? Our anxiety is not a reflection upon God. It's a reflection of our little faith. In other words, our little faith is mistrust toward the provision and the care of God. You know, you can find surveys all over the place. I found a survey. This is what an average person focuses their anxiety upon. 40% on things that will never happen. 30% on things about the past that can't be changed. 12% on criticism by others, mostly untrue. 10% about our health, which gets worse with stress. 8% are about real problems that we have to face. And advertisers, man, they pounce on the fear message, don't they? I love the bug commercials. You know, the bugs that are in the wall, because, you know, you see them running around, a little cartoon in your wall, and they're not just running around, they're multiplying, right? They're having their families in your wall. There's ants, and there's cockroaches, and there's penguins, and there's all sorts of things running around in your wall, and they love to get you to get afraid of that, and therefore, then they say, you need to buy this can of spray. And if you buy this can of spray and just spray it, it'll miraculously seep through the wall, and it'll get in, and it'll kill those bugs, and they'll be doornail up on the back, in their backs, as quick as you can count. But then they got to buy the second little thing that gets the smell out of your house, because now you just killed 9 mice in your wall, and they stinketh. You know? That's King James for you. So you run right out and buy a 2-pack, you know? And you're thinking of leaving church now because, by golly, I got to beat the crowd to Meyer because I got to get the 2-pack. So fear is something that people really use to get us to get all worked up about silly stuff. And Jesus says, listen, if we're going to serve God in this world, and we need to have faith that God loves us and he's going to provide for us, and we don't represent him well when we're consumed by worry. 31 there, he says, therefore, don't worry. Now, what do we eat? What do we drink? What do we wear? For the pagan people, the Gentiles, they think about that kind of stuff. You know, the Bible says that we're to give an answer to the lost world in regards to the hope that we have in Christ. And so Jesus is telling us in 31 and 32 that if we get just as anxious as the unsaved people related to all this stuff, how then do they, through our example, want to know the truth about God? Because if they see us all running around like our hair's on fire, they think, well, their God can't resolve their issues. Why would I want to know him? There needs to be a distinction between us and those who are unsaved. And so Jesus challenges us. And I think that's why he says, oh, you of little faith. He challenges us. Be people of faith who take God at his word. Worry, boy, it distracts us from our priorities. It divides our attention. It clouds our vision. There was a huge fog that settled over Minneapolis years ago. It was so dense that it shut down all the transportation in the city. And a scientist determined that there were 60 trillion droplets of water in that fog. I don't know how he counted all that. But he said that if you condense that fog down, it could be put into 1/2 glass of water. And that's the way my worries are. I start out with 1/2 a glass of problems, but in no time I've shut down the airport. I've shut down the highway system. I can't see for blocks. And I walk around like I'm going through Jell-O. It's amazing the things I can do with 1/2 a glass of worry. It's like my blood type is B negative. Ah, get it? It's written down right there. But all it takes is a little bit of worry. Oh, boy. Well, everybody looks over at Sandy and goes, I'm sorry. All it takes is a little bit of worry, just a few meager drops of anxiety to paralyze me, to cripple me, to plunder my peace. And I'm saying it over and over again, right? Jesus is telling us, trust in God to supply our basic needs. And that allows us then to live for eternal things. That's the point he's wanting to make. So now Jesus tells us what to do instead of worrying, okay? There's this problem. Here's the prescription, 33, for after all, 33. And it's key. Here's the King James. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The key word in that verse is the word first. And the tense is that we should continually be seeking God. Continually make God first in our lives. And when that's our top priority, he's not saying those other things don't matter. He's saying seek ye first. When that's our priority, then God's going to make sure everything else follows in behind that.
And one of the greatest things about following the Lord and serving Him is discovering what the call is on my life and then immersing myself in that. Because when you find what God has called you to do and be in this life, man, it gives you such intensity to pursue that you wake up in the morning with purpose. I'm about this. And all those other things kind of fall away because you've got purpose. You know, Wednesdays, and the kids, I think they know this, I love our youth group. I am so excited to be here on Wednesday night. I can't wait to be here around these youngins. So I wake up on Wednesday thinking, oh man, it's Wednesday. And all of a sudden, all those worries fall away because I can't wait to get over here because I want to be around your young people. And so as we find our calling in life and we pursue with intensity what God has called us to be and what God has called us to do, it's amazing how all these things kind of find our place. I love the fact that Jesus gives a prescription to the problem. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then the last verse we'll do today, therefore don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient the day as its own trouble. So what do we worry about as much as food and clothing? What's tomorrow hold? What's in front of me? You know, we got a lot of Alzheimer's in my family. A lot of it. You know, you wonder about stuff. You wonder about all those things. So easy to get caught up in that. And boy, the professional worriers among us, we really know how to worry about tomorrow. And the Lord says, I know that you tend to be anxious about tomorrow. But I got tomorrow. You focus on today. You be about the things I've called you to be today. Amen? That's what He's saying. Okay, the last thing as we close, and I just want to read through it, but I feel like it's really important we do. Philippians chapter, I think it's 4. So turn to your right. God eats popcorn. It's Philippians. I just want to read through it because I think it's important. Let's see, what did I say it is? God eats popcorn. Yeah, 4. Philippians 4. Just a couple things I want to land on real quickly, and then we'll close. You find it? Philippians 4. If you don't have this memorized, boy, I really encourage you, take the time this week, just meditate on it, just think about it, just push this deep inside of your heart. 4:4 is kind of where we'll jump in. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice, exclamation point. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And here's verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what's He saying? Instead of worrying, take whatever it is that you're concerned about to the Lord in prayer. In other words, let your anxiety translate into prayer. That's what He's saying. And the promised result, you see it? Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How peaceful is God today? Is He wringing His hands over this pandemic? Is He wringing His hands over the election that's upcoming? He is not wringing His hands. He is at perfect peace in heaven right now. And Jesus tells us that true peace comes from Him. John 14, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it neither be afraid. Ephesians tells us that Jesus is our peace. And this verse, verse 7, tells us that God's peace will literally set itself up as a guard around our hearts and our minds to protect us from worry. Now, all of us typically know those verses. We should. And many of us can have them memorized, but oftentimes we don't go far enough. The next verse is crucial to this. And oftentimes we stop at 7. Don't ever stop at 7. Keep going. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue and there's anything praiseworthy, here it is, you ready? Meditate on these things. What's he telling us? Don't be anxious, pray. And then focus your heart and your mind on what you know is true. So tomorrow you wake up and you got this thing going and you're getting a little worked up and God's saying, listen, turn off the radio on your way to work. How about you just spend time thinking about what you know to be true? I am loved by God. I am precious in His sight. He has a plan for my life. That list goes on and on. You can go to work and back 17 times and not exhaust the list. Of just of what you know to be true about God. Jesus rose from the dead to the living. And because he's alive, I'm alive. I mean, all these things. So that's just one of this list in verse 8. And if I focus my mind on those few things, anxiety pushes away. I push away all those things. Because my heart and my mind are focused on God. It's a great, great remedy for our anxiety. Remember, 1 Peter tells us, cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Don't let TV tell you how to think. Don't let radio or whatever, or the news media, don't let them to be the ones that cause your attention. Some of us are newsaholics. We live in a crazy world now. You know, when I was a kid, Walter Cronkite, we had local news at 6. Walter Cronkite was at 6:30, and the evening news was 11, and that was it. We had no idea what else was going on in the world until we got the newspaper, and that was a day late. Now we got 24/7 all the time, and if the news people don't have news to tell you, they'll make stuff up. And I get bleeps on my phone all the time, breaking news alert. Mosquitoes cause you to itch. Whoa, dude, that's crazy. I mean, it's just wild, the world we live in. We've got to push those things aside. We've got to focus our hearts and our minds on what Jesus calls us to here. Amen? It's really important. And when we do that, He'll gloriously transform our life. We spend so much time focused on things past. Oh, boy. Oh, I don't know about today and what's in front. I came across the poem years ago, and I had the guys put it up because I want to read it, but, you know, the ear gate and the eye gate. And I've said it to you before, but I'm going to read it to you. Can you find the poem, fellas? Here it is. I was regretting the past, fearing the future. Suddenly God was speaking. My name is I Am. I waited, and God continued. When you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I Was. When you live in the future with its problems and fears, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I Will Be. When you live in this moment, it is not hard. I am here. My name is I Am. Man, that's powerful stuff. He's in the moment. Our Father has a kingdom, and He is the king over that kingdom. And in that kingdom, there are no grandchildren, only sons and daughters. And He cares, and He provides, and He blesses His kids immeasurably. And He has our lives, past, present, and future, secure. Secure. So let's trust Him. Amen? Let's trust Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the time we had today. Open Your Word and read through it and study. And we thank You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit at work in this room, work in our hearts, Lord. Lord, it's easy to read this section and nod our head and then not really be able to walk it out because this stuff is real. There are challenges in front of us, God. So many things. But You call us to trust in who You are. I pray You'd build that into our hearts this morning, Lord. I pray that we would be people of faith. That we would take You at Your word. And when You say,
I'll take care of you, Toby. Then I'd relax and rest, and your perfect peace would come. And Lord, then when you give us a little extra, that we wouldn't hold on to it and hoard it and feel like I got to protect what's mine because I don't know what tomorrow brings. That under the direction of you, God, we would be generous when you call us to be. Because we trust that you got our tomorrow taken care of. Lord, those of us who know you as our Savior, our tomorrow is full of you all the way out to the forever and ever we're going to be with you and enjoying who you are. Until then, Lord, we want to represent you well in this world. Thank you for this instruction, God. Thank you. By the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we ask that we would live this out today. That we would live this out tomorrow. And that people would see you in us, Lord, and be drawn to you. That's what we desire, Lord. Use us this week for your glory. Lord, we pray about the service that's upcoming. Lord, we pray that anyone who doesn't know you, Lord, they'd be touched by your Spirit and turn to you. Lord, we ask that you do a mighty work. Bless Larry today, Lord. Have your way in our hearts, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Read ahead, chapter 7 next week.